Welcome to another episode of the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Tessie.
And we are sisters-in-law. We started this podcast because it was evidence within our circle of friends that the women in this world are doing incredible things, even the ones that you have never heard of. So we interview these women, we talk to them, we talk about what they're writing, what they're doing, what they're creating, and we bring it to you twice a week here on the podcast.
That's right. That's exactly what we do.
So that's that. That is that. I don't know what else to say.
If this is your first podcast, Mondays are actually our interview segments. Today is a Wednesday. So today is our midweek episode, which we love calling midweek, which is obvious because it's Wednesday. But it's our shorter episode. Yeah, we're clever. We're clever people. It's a shorter episode where we usually focus on an article we've read or something that's been on our minds or something our Mama Bear community has asked us to discuss. So on Wednesdays, you'll hear mostly from Leslie and me, unless we get a really fun segment to head up by another person.
That's right. So Today we are going to talk about relationships and how to nurture them. But first, let's hear from our sponsors.
Or just Tessie talking about our sponsor, Audible. So you guys, check out Audible, get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audible.com/mamabeardares. And a real quick note, I don't know if you guys know this, but by you doing that, it actually helps our podcast. So this isn't just a sponsor info where they want you to hear their name Audible. If you do that, if you go get your 30-day free trial and free audiobook download, did I mention all of this is free? It actually goes to help the podcast. We get a little bit behind the scenes, so please go do that.
Do it. Let's see. I think if seven people do this, if they sign up for the free audiobook and the free trial, we can afford two microphones.
That's so exciting, you guys.
I know.
That's
isn't
no big
that great?
Deal. That's seven of you. That's the smallest portion of our listeners. So please go do that. Yeah.
I want to know always after we read the sponsorship, like what you're reading, or I want to be able to tell you about what I'm reading. But who has time to read? Like, when do you read? Because I'm struggling. I've been in the same book for like the last 3 weeks probably. And usually I'm a faster reader than that. When do you have time to read? When do you do it?
I don't want to just say this, but I really do listen to Audible because I'm on the road all the time, and especially it's been cold in our at our baseball and softball games and track meets, so I don't want my hands out with a book, and so it genuinely, you guys, you have to check out Audible, and I've been on the Audible bandwagon for years, it feels like, so it's the perfect thing. You've got to do it. I know you're hesitant, Leslie. You need to be one of our seven people.
I know. You're probably right. Because I'm just like, well, she might do that, but I am a visual learner, and I need to, like, read things, like, see things. And so, but maybe it's different, like, with fiction. Maybe I would really enjoy that.
Yeah, I have to do fiction. I can't do nonfiction or, you know, autobiographies, memoirs, that kind of stuff. I like having the book. And you know it. I'm a tactile person, too. I love the smell of books. I love opening it. It's like, oh, my God, it's the best. But for fiction, I'm telling you, Audible is the way to go.
All right. Well, maybe I will be one of our seven
signers. We're going to ask you next time. Okay.
Okay, so also use our Amazon banner ad. It's on our website. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but it does help the Mama Bear Dares podcast, so we appreciate you making that part of your purchasing routine. Should we get on to the show?
Let's do it.
All right, so I was thinking about relationships after episode 18 when we were talking about actually two authors, Jonathan Safran Foer and Nicole Krauss, and I mentioned that they were married. Well, it turns out they're divorced, and I was really bummed. clearly that I'm not on top of my Page Six gossip because this happened like
I was going to say, I'm only laughing because how long ago was it, Leslie?
It was like, I think 3 years ago or something.
This does not surprise me.
So it really got me thinking about relationships and our adult relationships and how those change so much we have kids. So I thought we should talk about this and just kind of give some tips to our listeners about how to nurture our partnerships. And this will be part of our old wives segment. So, you know, there's old wives tales.
Yeah.
Old wives, like, we're old wives. We both got married.
I love that we both want to be old wives. We've discussed this before.
We're just the old wives.
I also want to make a real quick note that we actually had a Mama Bear listener ask us to talk about our relationship, yours and mine. So we're going to get into that in a future podcast too.
That's a great idea.
Did you like how I just said we're going to do that? We haven't established that. We're going to do that too.
Let's do it.
But let's talk about our husbands for a minute, should we?
Okay. So we both, has it been 14 years since we both got married?
It sure has this year.
Okay, so you got married in August. I got married in December.
14 years. Real quick note, we asked Jake and Leslie to sing at our wedding. What we didn't know they were going to do was just before our beautiful first kiss as husband and wife, Jake and Leslie made out at the altar after their song.
It was a quick peck, and we were young and in love, and like the spirit of your wedding just moved us to sing a song and then embrace.
Yeah, agree to disagree on the quick peck. Whatever, Jake and Leslie. But the key to this, the moral of this old wives segment, is to let you know, Mama Bears, that we're not experts. 14 years is a really long time. There have been moments where it's felt like an eternity, but we're just old wives with a bit of advice to offer. That's it. That's you can take it. You can leave it. But Leslie, what should they absolutely 100% not do?
Please don't sue us.
Do not sue
take
us.
Take this for what it's worth.
Exactly.
So, okay, so we've broken it down. 7 simple ways to nurture your relationship after kids. I'll start with the first one because I think this has been really monumental for Jake and I. Early in our marriage, someone gave us the book, The 5 Love Languages. And honestly, like as cheesy as it sounds, and it might be, you know, it's kind of like a self-help type of book, but it has been so effective. So we figured out each other's love languages early on. Mine is words of affirmation. So I need my partner to tell me, like, you are such a great mom, or you really know how to bake bread well, which I don't actually at all.
I was just going to say.
But I need him to tell me. I need to hear, which is interesting because I just said like I'm a much more visual like learner, but I need to hear this affirmation to know that I'm doing okay. Let's actually
Let's break it down. Okay.
So the 5 love languages are words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. So I'm words of affirmation. What are you?
I'm actually acts of service.
Okay, that's what Jake is too.
Yes, I know. We've talked about this, he and I.
Yeah, so that means even though I could care less if the counter was cleaned off at the end of the day, like I typically try to clear it off as an act of love for Jake because he likes things neat and tidy.
Yeah, so that is the point, though, right? Like, you need to find out what your love language is, but you also need to find out what your partner's is. Because just because mine is acts of service, Zach could care less that I am picking things up or ordering his favorite thing on Amazon for him. That does not say I love you to him. His is physical touch. So when I wake up in the morning and just rub his back, fit is a fiddle, right? So you have to actually know your love language and let your partner know so that they can communicate that way.
Yeah, so that's a whole point. So you recognize yours, you know, figure out what that is, read the book, or we'll post a kind of a quiz that you can take in the show notes so you can figure out your love language as well as your partner can figure out theirs, and then do those things for each other. So it really makes a huge difference.
Oh,
I think it's absolutely, absolutely key.
And you're right. It is kind of a self-help book. And I too have been upfront on the podcast about not usually being able to hook into kind of the traditional self-help books, but this was big, huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's actually one, 5 Love Languages of Kids too.
I heard that. Have you guys seen that?
Yes, and it's also really good. It's probably another podcast discussion, but it's a really great way just to communicate within your whole family. But also, today, we're encouraging you to check out your love languages. You don't have to read the whole book in order to get an idea. I mean, it's pretty obvious if you take the quiz and you, or if your partner takes the quiz and you realize that their love language is gifts, like receiving gifts, then you're pretty well set.
Yeah,
you know, like you can just do like
you know
little
what
things every once in a while. Yeah. So it's not rocket science, but it is, it takes a step. You have to, you know, identify what they are.
Yeah. The second one we wanted to talk about, which we talk about often on the podcast, is nurturing your other self for both the papa and the mama bears.
Mm-hmm.
And even perhaps more importantly, support your partner in allowing him or her to nurture his or her other self.
Right.
Without guilt. I mean, we've talked about mommy guilt, but we cannot kind of transfer our mommy guilt on the dads when they're nurturing their other self. It's big, you guys. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that could look like a lot of different things depending on your partner and what they need to do. So just like you have hopefully identified the things as you've been listening maybe to different interviews on this podcast, you've identified the things that nurture yourself. So if it's, you know, going to a bookstore or going to a beach, like hopefully you've identified that and you're taking steps towards doing those things. Well, also let your partner, ask your partner if you don't already know, you know, what is it that makes them feel better about being them and about living life? And make sure you give them the time and the space to do that. I think it's really important. It's hard work. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that a lot of this is, it involves like time away. You know, I will admit that, for instance, last Saturday morning, there was a twinge of anger when I woke up because my spouse had gone on a really long bike ride. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, who's going to make the coffee? No, I know how to make coffee. But I was like, oh, man, you know, what's he doing? And then I realized, you know what? He's going to come back and he is going to be feeling so good. And I want that for him.
Yeah. And for you.
And for me, yeah. Sometimes it feels like a tiny bit of a sacrifice, but it's a gift that you can give to your spouse so that everyone functions together more happily.
Yeah, because it is true, like when mama's happy, everybody's happy, but it's also true that when daddy's happy, everybody's happy. Or if you're in a mommy-mommy situation, all the mommies need to be happy.
Mm-hmm. And all the daddies need to be happy.
Exactly.
Just, let's get happy. So the third tip that we as old wives would like to offer you is watching your partner do something in their element. So I'm thinking of watching Jake work with kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good at that, and I just love it. He was at a baseball game the other night. Yeah, totally. And I stopped for a second, and I was just like realizing that I just was enjoying staring at him.
Yeah,
you know?
It's weird, but awesome.
It is. It's awesome. So what is it that your person does? When are they kind of just like in their element? And just take a second and just stand back and be like, damn.
Exactly. That's the only proper response.
That's true.
I think there's so much value in this because actually a friend of mine, Chandra, and I were talking. We were just talking about, you know, how important this exact thing is, that when you're at the most frustrated with your significant other, because you will, because you're two humans trying to figure out how to live life together. Mm-hmm. So that's going to happen. So when you're at your most frustrated with your significant other, purposely seek out these moments. If your significant other is phenomenal at just getting on the floor and playing with your kids, stop washing your dishes or stop doing the laundry or stop reading your book and just watch that so that you can remember that, holy cow, or as Leslie says for the first time in her life, damn.
I say that all the time. I say it every day.
Every day.
At least once or twice. Yeah, it's important. All right, what's our next one? Number four.
Date night out or date night in?
Mm-hmm.
Super important. It's hard. I have five kids. They're involved in so many things, especially as the weather gets nicer. Zach, one of his roles is to watch over camp. So, you know, he's getting busier as the weather turns warmer too. So date night outs are really, really difficult to do. Mm-hmm. But date night ins, when we can kind of have the kids go to bed early and we can just be the two of us, that works too.
You know, I think there's just different phases of depending on how old your kids are, because I used to really just want to get out. Like, mm-hmm. I just needed out of here. Mm-hmm. But lately that hasn't seemed as important. And so I'm almost tired of having to like schedule date night out. And yeah. I actually find date night in a little bit better. And my favorite, like, I love cracking open a beer and eating sushi. Like, we'll often order in.
You crack open a beer?
I do. Like, on our date night in,
really?
I will drink a beer and wow. eat sushi. Like, it's kind of our
little thing. Sushi makes
sense,
but just picturing you cracking open a beer, this
I know,
is blowing
no,
my mind.
I'm usually, for sure, a wine drinker, yeah. but there is something about date night in, and I'm not joking, this might be a little cheesy sounding, but, like, we will order in our sushi, we will drink our beer, I light a candle, and we don't watch TV. Like, we're just together, and we're eating dinner, the kids are in bed, and I love it. I love it.
Do you know what I love about date night in? Is that I get to wear my house clothes. I mean, maybe I'll put a thong on under my house clothes instead of my standard issued normal sized underwear, but house clothes it is, you guys.
That's true. That's a good point.
And I really just want to stress, it's more about finding time. So if the other part about date night in that I love is that it doesn't cost money, you know, mm-hmm. it's not. So if your budget is tight, if your time is tight, like, light that candle and set aside specific time for just the two of you. And I love it without the TV, whatever it is, you know, but find something.
Yeah. They're actually, when it's so funny, because like the whole sushi and beer thing, like, it's almost like it's a routine. And it's something that is sort of special. Like, we don't really ever do that other yeah. than these nights. So there is something about, like, the ritual mm-hmm. of that. And you can establish whatever that might look like for you. All right. So number five on our list is to find something that you can enjoy together outside of your kids. Ugh. So the temptation is, you know, yeah, we love sitting and watching the kids do this or that or this. Find something outside of that. And it can just be a TV show. It can be like walking the dog at night, whatever it might be. But search for that thing that you can share together that exists, whether the kids are home and in your care or if they're away at summer camp.
Yeah. Quick note, you should definitely send your kids to summer camp. That's all I'll say about that.
Says the woman who lives at a summer camp.
Exactly. But you're so right. And I do want to make a note that I remember at one point hearing that on date nights or in those moments where you're enjoying something that doesn't have anything to do with your kids, that you shouldn't talk about your kids either. But that was putting so much pressure on us. I don't know if you find this to be true, especially if you're like going on a date you know everything about each other. We've been married 14 years. I mean, there are no secrets here, right? Like there are virtually no experiences we haven't shared together. And often Zach's done talking about work after work. And so we'll get to like the other little stuff we heard, but we do end up talking about our kids, our kids' future and all of that. And I just don't want to put pressure on, you know, the mama bears out there that like that has to be an off topic, because sometimes that's all the only time we have to just get on the same page with everything too.
Right. I can see that. Like, I think that when in those situations, like we get a lot done.
Exactly.
Like, as far as like we figure out our kids,
yes,
you know, during that time. So yeah, no rules. Or if you need rules, like whatever.
Yeah. You do you, man. You do you.
That's right.
Ugh. Number six is maybe my favorite. Say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do it. I'm talking to you because I'm talking to me, right? We're terrible at it. We take advantage of the people we love because it's just so easy to do, especially when you do become a little ingrained in your roles within the house. And so we forget that even though if your role is to change the oil in the car, that's still a gift, right? Mm-hmm. So say thank you.
Yeah, that's especially important to those of us who crave those words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, that's a really important one. And number seven, say your partner's name. So I think that this is important too. Just
say my name, say my name. When no one is around. Actually, that song's about cheating, so it doesn't fit here. But everybody was doing it anyway. Continue.
It's so true. Now it's like stuck in everyone's head too, so I apologize. But I think there's something about just recognizing the humanity in each of us. So it's like namaste. The divine within me recognizes the divine within you. We want to be seen. We want to be recognized. And I think that by intentionally saying one another's name, that in that moment, we can kind of make that person feel seen. And I think that's really important.
You're right. You're right. And say it in a loving way. I often think of how your mom always says her dog's names in a loving way. I think about this all the time. Because I love that.
Winifred.
And they're beautiful names. Winifred, get off the couch. But, you know, often I'm like yelling across fields, Zach or something, right? And it sounds menacing and terrible. So saying it in a loving way is also important.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe that's why people have pet names that they sometimes say, you know, because there's just something really sweet about that coming off your tongue. Just that.
What's Jake's pet name? Like, what do you call Jake?
I don't really have a pet name for Jake.
I guess you don't love him.
He calls me Butternut. The sweetest, like, oh, Butternut, how are ya? I love it, and when he says it, it makes me feel so happy.
That's so beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, I call him like Jakey or like, I don't know, late to dinner.
You've been on Pinterest too much.
I know, it's true. Pinteresting, very Pinteresting.
So. I call Zach usually Z or Huns of Funds. Hey, Huns of Funds.
Do it in your voice. You have like so many like.
Oh, hey, Huns of Funds. Huns of Funds. He hates that voice. But it's my thing. It's my shtick. So he gets it anyway.
Does he call you? Does he have a name for you? A sweet, enduring name for you? Endearing name for you?
No, usually he just goes, "Oh boy." Yeah, but no, Zach. Like when I'm being adorable, and he just gets this little smile, and he's like, "Oh boy." That's kind of my nickname.
Well, that's cute. cute. Does that feel good in your soul?
It does, because it rarely happens. But he's like, actually, it happens all the time when he's just like, oh my God. But when he does it in a cute way. Oh boy.
See, that's sweet. We all need that. So I think we have a pretty good list. We have figure out your love language and your spouse's or partner's love language. Nurture your other self and support your partner in allowing that him or her to nurture their other self. Watch him or her do something in their element. Celebrate a date night out or a date night in. Find something that you can enjoy together outside of your kids. Say thank you and say each other's names.
I love it.
Yeah. So, of course, mamas, we have a dare for you today. We dare you to work at your relationships. Even when life is busy and feels like a lot of work, when kids or when pets are all consuming, we dare you today to look at your partner and speak their love language. Make a list in your head of things that you love about him or her and then say them out loud next time you have a moment. Nourish these relationships. They're dependable and they're always present, so it's easy to take them for granted. Today, fight against that, even if it's just a little bit, and regard your special person with a little extra love and attention.
Absolutely. So we want to hear from you. What do you do to keep your relationship alive? For some of us, date night might feel just a little stale. So if date night's for you, what is for you? Let us know. Catch us on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Tell us what you enjoy doing with one another. How do you stay together? And how long have you been together? It would be so fun to see kind of the longest relationship of our mama bears, right?
See if we have any other old wives out there.
Yeah, old wives. It's where it's at, you guys. It is where it's at. We're bringing sexy back to old wives.
That's what we're doing. Our house clothes.
House clothes. Absolutely. So let us know your tips and tricks for keeping the magic alive in the relationship. Like I said, on any of our social media or by emailing us at mamabeardares@gmail.com. And go ahead and use that email for any mama bears you know that you want to be on the podcast too. And you can nominate yourself. We've had some self-nominations and they've been awesome. They've made us so happy. So hit us up.
Hit us on the buzz.
Hit me on the buzz.
Say our names.
Do all the things.
All the things.
But mostly, have a great week.
Have a great week.